What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 121. Today, we're going to be covering colostrum. And a lot of people maybe have never heard of colostrum before, but in this current climate with COVID and everyone worried about vaccines and getting sick and all that type of stuff, colostrum is a great way to support your immune system. So it's one of the reasons we wanted to talk about it. And it's some interesting stuff. Have you ever really thought about colostrum before, Tom, or is this the first time we're really thinking about it?
So I've heard a lot of people talk about it, but this is the first time like I've really kind of looked into the evidence myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot more powerful than I really thought. I thought it was just some like new trend, like new fad food, something like that.
Yeah.
But damn, this thing is powerful.
Yeah, it has, and there's a lot of evidence supporting its efficacy as far as just being a tool, like, you know, another tool in your toolbox as far as just maintain health and another supplement if you want to add it to your regimen. So I personally did start, I think I've had notes for this podcast for a while, but I wanted to take colostrum first before I actually spoke on it. You know what I mean? I didn't want to take it or speak on something I've never taken before. So I've been taking colostrum myself now for, it's probably been at least 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. So, you know, I do have some personal experience with it, but I just want to first start off basically saying, like, what is colostrum, if you never heard of it. So it's a milk-like substance made from mammals before actual milk production. So, and the amount produced varies from species to species, but it's usually produced the first 3 days after birth. And a lot of people obviously don't know that. They just think when a cow or human, whatever, gives birth, they just produce milk right away. But that's not true. The first couple days, you get this, like, powerful-ass juice called colostrum that's packed full of everything. And I know it kind of sounds disgusting, like it did to me. Even the word colostrum kind of sounds gross, but it's actually not that bad. It kind of makes my protein shakes, that's what I mixed it with, like almost into a malt. It kind of tastes like buttermilk. It's honestly good. Like, if it was cheaper, I would add it just for the flavor standpoint, and which is pretty interesting, you know what I mean?
So is it adding like heavy cream, something like that, just mm-hmm. makes it a lot thicker?
Yeah, it makes it, colostrum doesn't mix very well, which I've noticed. So it kind of stays clumpy, but the clumps you get taste good.
Okay.
So it's not a bad thing at all. So I was like, okay, I'm
cool. So it probably doesn't make it look more appealing, but it tastes better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it makes it look clumpy, but it tastes good. And so what's the difference between colostrum and milk? And so colostrum contains a very high amount of antibodies. It also is high in vitamins, minerals, fats, growth hormones, and digestive enzymes. So basically everything needed to support a newborn life is in colostrum. In particular, it's higher in protein, fat, carbs, magnesium, B vitamins, and vitamins A, C, and E than cow's milk. So it's just a nutrition powerhouse. There's no doubt about it.
So it kind of sounds like it's just like concentrated milk.
Yeah, you can kind of think of it like that, exactly.
Just like a more dense version of the same of milk.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And there is lactose in it. So if you're lactose intolerant, maybe be aware. But there's not that much lactose. It's very low, with a concentration of 1.2% of the total carbohydrates is lactose. So it's pretty low. Casein, which is a protein in milk that some people have allergic reactions to. Some people just don't respond well to casein. That might be a problem if that's you, because colostrum is high in casein. It's the highest amount, way more than normal milk. But the biggest source of protein from colostrum comes in the form of antibodies, are also called immunoglobulins. They make up 70 to 80% of the protein in colostrum, and specifically IgG makes up the biggest portion of that, which 75% of total antibodies in colostrum are IgG. And just to break down what that is, a lot of people aren't going to know what antibodies are or immunoglobulins. So antibodies are proteins our body makes that recognize an antigen on the outside of a foreign invader, like a virus or bacteria. And then an antibody binds to that antigen, you can think of it just like a binding site, and invokes an immune response, telling our body to get rid of that bacteria or virus. And there's a few of the antibodies, so like I said, colostrum's high in IgG, but it's also high in IgA and IgM. And since colostrum is high in antibodies, it's been shown to increase protection from bacteria and viruses, which is, I mean, talk about COVID city, like we need, that's what everyone's worried about these days, right?
Yeah, and honestly, like this makes total sense that like mammal mothers would produce this colostrum during the first few days of birth, because as a baby, you don't really have much of an immune system, so because you haven't really been exposed to everything. You've been like in your mother's womb for the last few months, so you've been protected from the outside world. Once you're born, now all of a sudden you're just exposed to all this bacteria and all these viruses that you should have no defenses from. But because you're consuming all these antigens from your mother, now you're getting all this protection. It's basically like a bunch of vaccines that you're getting to protect you from all these viruses and bacteria. So now all of a sudden your immune system goes from zero to whatever your mother's is. Mm-hmm. Like it has like all that generational like wealth of like antigens. Yep. It's amazing how complex like Mother Nature is.
Yeah, and it figured it out, ways to support baby life from day one. Because they're like, obviously a little infant is so susceptible to everything. So we need to pack that colostrum full of these antibodies to support their immune system. Yeah. And it's not just antibodies in colostrum that's good for our immune system. There's also something called lactoferrin in colostrum. And there's actually 100 times more lactoferrin in colostrum than milk. And it protects us, lactoferrin protects us from bacteria and viruses through its kind of how it binds to iron. And this is something I learned doing this research. They refer to a lot of times as iron wars. And that's because humans and bacteria need iron to live. It's a cofactor in numerous chemical reactions. And lactoferrin has a very high binding capacity for iron. So it loves it. It just pretty much soaks it up. So it can bind to iron, allowing us to use it, humans, right? But not the bacteria. Therefore, it kind of starves the bacteria out and kills it. So that's one of the reasons, or one of the mechanisms, how colostrum is beneficial for us. It's very high in lactoferrin. And you're not going to get a lot of lactoferrin from other food sources. So supplementing with colostrum is one way to get it really high.
Yeah, as soon as you mentioned the Iron Wars, I don't know why, I was just thinking of, that would have been a really cool, like, documentary title for, like, back in the day when you had, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger and, like, Lou Ferrigno, like, competing.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been, like, a perfect title for that.
That was, yeah, like, Pumping Iron, but Iron Wars, yeah, exactly. No, it's okay. There was something that got brought up that my past knowledge from, like, kind of, like, bodybuilding years kind of, I don't know, it was like a red flag to me. So they say there's a lot of growth factors in colostrum, and there is. So specifically IGF-1, so insulin-like growth factor 1, is very high in colostrum. For a baby cow, this is a good thing to get because it promotes proper development. But I don't think this should be a reason for someone to take colostrum. So babies are able to absorb growth factors through their GI tract because their GI tract is very leaky the first few days post-birth. And that makes sense because their body needs to absorb pretty much everything that you get from the milk. But this isn't true for adults. In adults, IGF-1 isn't orally bioavailable. It gets broken down by our stomach acid, and anything that may stay intact in the small intestines isn't absorbed. The only way to get IGF-1 higher would be to inject it, which bypasses these mechanisms. And I only know that from my bodybuilding years, when IGF-1 is a drug bodybuilders take, and if they did have an orally bioavailable option, every bodybuilder would take it. but they don't. IGF-1 can only be injected if you want to raise IGF-1 levels. So they, a lot of these papers on colostrum say, oh, it's good for growth, it's good for this, but maybe other growth factors, but IGF-1 in particular, I know isn't bioavailable.
Yeah, it seems like the immune system is like the major benefits that you get from colostrum. It doesn't seem like it's really going to make you like big, strong, and swole.
Yeah, it's not going to make you jacked. Exactly. Yeah. And so there are a lot of studies out there just showing, I guess, all the benefits of colostrum. There is one 12-week study in 35 adult distance runners found that taking daily colostrum supplements increased the amount of saliva IgA, and that's one of those immunoglobulins, by 79% compared to baseline. And the researchers suggested that higher saliva levels of IgA may strengthen immunity and enhance the body's ability to fight upper respiratory tract infections. And I mean, just think of like the symptoms of COVID. They sound like upper respiratory tract infections. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like your common cold, your common flu, upper respiratory tract infections. Those are, you know, fairly common. So that seems like a great benefit right there.
Yeah. And there was another study in 29 male cyclists observed taking 10 grams of colostrum a day for 5 weeks. And it prevented a post-exercise decrease in immune cells and reduced the risk of upper respiratory infection symptoms compared to the placebo. So again, they just had better defense from infections, which makes sense. That's exactly what you want. Another study in 87 adults experiencing diarrhea associated with HIV found that taking 100 grams of bovine colostrum a day, along with traditional anti-diarrheal medications, significantly decreased stool frequency by 21%, more than traditional medications alone. So it can just help with overall gut health. Like, that seems to be one of the biggest benefits of colostrum is gut health. And we both know leaky gut is the root cause pretty much for all autoimmune conditions. We've done a whole podcast on it. So people don't really appreciate or really understand that our gut pretty much is our entire immune system.
Yeah, it's one of our first lines of defense. Like, our first line of defense is obviously going to be like our skin. But then after that, like, you need to have your immune system very active all around your gut, because that's where like foreign invaders are going to get in. Like, you know, your small intestine, your large intestine. So they need to be able to defend your body, like right at the source of possible any infections. And that's what this is doing. It's strengthening your gut. So yeah, it's another great benefit for it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what they said. You know, colostrum, it can stimulate the growth of intestinal cells, strengthen the gut wall, and prevent intestinal permeability, which is what we talked about as far as when unwanted particles get inside our body through our leaky gut. You don't want a leaky gut. You want that thing iron tight. But it's just the world we live in nowadays promotes leaky gut in a million different reasons and a million different ways. But if there is something out there that can strengthen it, like colostrum, it'd be good to take. And so there's another study with 12 athletes who were susceptible to intestinal permeability due to heavy exercise, found that taking 20 grams of colostrum a day prevented 80% of the increase in intestinal permeability experienced by those who took the placebo. So again, just another pretty big number, 80% increase. And it's just, there is studies out there showing that it works. And I think that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, 80% is a very big number. I mean, a lot of these studies are with, like, you know, smaller scale. I mean, this one's only looking at 12 athletes. But usually when you have, like, you know, a study with only 12 athletes, they're usually much higher quality studies. I mean, this one is comparing colostrum to a placebo. So this is like a high quality study. And 80% is a very big increase. That's a big number. So, yeah, that's very significant. Like, that's a very good finding to have. Unlike, you know, a lot of the epidemiological studies that make up the bulk of, like, nutrition.
Yeah, exactly. And I know we wanted to touch on, just because, like I said, the climate nowadays of flu and COVID. So there are a few papers out there referencing what colostrum does with the flu. So we'll touch on those now.
All right. So this one is comparing colostrum and the flu vaccine. So for this one, they took 400 milligrams of colostrum daily. There's two studies tied into this one. So there are four groups in the first study. There was the no treatment group, the vaccine only group, the colostrum only group, And then the fourth group was vaccine and colostrum. So the no treatment group, only 5 out of the 23 people had no events. That means they experienced no symptoms at all. And 2 of them were hospitalized. So 5 out of 23 were completely healthy. 2 were hospitalized. Not very good for the no treatment group.
Yeah.
The vaccine only group, 10 out of 36 had no events. And 1 was hospitalized. So vaccine looks like it did a lot more than nothing. But compared to colostrum, not that good. So the colostrum-only group, 19 out of 37. So over half of the colostrum-only group were event-free compared to like less than a third of the vaccine-only group and 0 hospitalizations. That's a big win for colostrum versus the vaccine right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the colostrum plus vaccine group, 17 out of 41 were event-free and 0 were hospitalized. So slightly worse than the colostrum-only group when it comes to people like feeling symptoms. But, I mean, it's pretty comparable.
Yeah, so, I think that's a win for colostrum right there. That's black and white.
Yeah, no hospitalizations, even though the study groups were much longer for the colostrum, for both of those groups. Nobody got severe symptoms. And it seems like about half of the people were protected compared to the vaccine, where less than a third were protected.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it seems like it's been, colostrum's pretty good against the flu.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at all the measurements, the two groups receiving the colostrum were very close. So it basically suggests that the vaccine doesn't do like anything more than colostrum by itself would do. So incident rates, that means people that felt symptoms, costs, and time while ill were all about 3 times greater in the no treatment group and the vaccine groups when compared to the group taking colostrum. So, bam, like that right there is like if you take colostrum, like you're going to be way healthier against like the flu in general than you would be if you got the vaccine or you did nothing.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about costs, that includes like missed work and medical treatment. So, like, yeah, that's what they were looking at. And those costs were 3 times higher for the no treatment group and the vaccine group compared to either colostrum group. So that's pretty much what most people care about is, are you going to be sick enough where you have to miss work? Are you going to be sick enough where you need to go to the hospital? So no, take colostrum, you'll be good. Or at least you'll be giving your body the best chance possible.
Yeah, exactly. Fighting chance.
Yeah. So the second study looked at high-risk individuals. So people that had hypertension or some other sort of cardiovascular problems, you know, people that were like sick and unhealthy, more susceptible to the flu and having like bad outcomes. So in this study, there were only 3 groups, the vaccine only group, the colostrum only group, and the vaccine plus colostrum. There was no treatment group in this one because, like I just mentioned, these were all like high risk individuals. So it's not ethical to not give them any sort of treatment. You can't give these people a placebo.
Mm-hmm.
So for the vaccine group, the vaccine only group, 6 out of 22 people had events, 5 were hospitalized with 1 death. Not very good for the vaccine. The colostrum group, only 3 out of 21 had events, so that's half compared to the vaccine. 2 people were hospitalized, again, that's less than half of the vaccine, with 0 deaths, much better than the vaccine. And then when you look at the vaccine plus colostrum, you had 3 out of 22, very comparable with the colostrum. 3 out of 22 had events. 1 was hospitalized with 0 deaths. So again, the colostrum and the colostrum plus vaccine look extremely comparable. And when you compare the colostrum to the vaccine by itself, it does much, much better. So colostrum, like when you compare both of these studies in total, colostrum is better at preventing the flu, lowers the severity of the flu, reduces costs from missed work and hospitalizations, and it's going to come with much, much fewer side effects. And it's also going to provide more benefits. Like the flu vaccine, it protects you against the flu. It doesn't do anything to improve your gut health. It doesn't give you a bunch of vitamins and minerals along with it. It doesn't give you fats. It doesn't give you carbs. It doesn't do any of those things. Colostrum is a much, much better choice.
Yeah, I mean, both those studies, it's, like I said earlier, it's black and white. Like, it's pretty clear that colostrum won those.
Yeah, like in one study, it seems like it's twice as good as the vaccine, and the other study was like 3 times better. So, yeah, it's significantly better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for the flu, which, I mean, COVID is just a form of flu, like, that's a, it's a good thing to take colostrum.
All right, so another study that I looked at, and unfortunately, this doesn't have conclusions to the study yet because they're still in clinical trials, but I just found it extremely interesting. So after SARS-CoV-1 in 2002, many vaccines went into development, but none were made commercially available. So one of the methods that they were looking at was to inject cows and mice with a vaccine and then test their milk for antibodies. So these methods were actually found to be very successful, but SARS-CoV-1 didn't have the lasting effect, so it wasn't really financially smart to produce these and in bulk or make them commercially available. So this group, SAB Biotherapeutics of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, they have genetically modified cows that are capable of producing human antibodies after being exposed to a SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. So one of these cows can produce enough antibodies for several hundred people. So like I mentioned earlier, this treatment is still in clinical trials, so we don't know for sure how effective it's going to be. But, I mean, just looking at how good colostrum did against the flu, I'm willing to bet that this one is probably going to come out very favorable as well. And again, no side effects or very, very few side effects. I mean, unless you're lactose intolerant, then you might have some side effects.
Mm-hmm.
But this seems like this is a much better choice, much safer choice than anything else out there. It just kind of shows that milk really does a body good.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think I didn't bring it up there. There are, I don't know, I'm not going to forget the term. It's almost like a super colostrum, but it's doing the same thing these people are doing. It's pretty much enhancing the amount of antibodies these specific cows are making. So they pretty much inject the cows with something and they make this colostrum even more potent. So there are other options for colostrum out there. But I just looked at kind of normal colostrum. And that was mainly because if you notice, I don't know if we noticed all the dosages through these studies, but the dosages are they're all over the place. So the one Tom talked about with the flu, they got 400 milligrams. But you've seen some of the ones I've talked about where they got over 100 grams a day. And that is a magnitude difference where it's crazy. You know what I mean? That's a real big difference. And to show kind of the cost of colostrum, the one I bought, it was actually a goat colostrum. It was one of the, highest rated. I wanted to find the one that treated the colostrum the safest. So it dried it out in the easiest manner to hopefully keep everything intact. So I tried to get the best one I could find at first. And the price of that, so for 30 servings at 3 grams a serving, which would be like a base level serving, is $38. So even someone like me, if I wanted to take a low dose, which I would consider 10 grams a low dose, that would be about $120 a month just for colostrum. And if I want to take a high dose, which would be 100 grams, that would cost over $1,000 a month if I continue buying that same goat colostrum. So that's really, I think colostrum is great. And it's just the dosages are everywhere. So if you have money like that where you can spend an extra $100 a month just on colostrum, do your thing. I think you should do it. But that's not something I'm going to do. I think right now I might just do a random just 3 grams and just keep it like that, even though I don't think that's really that high of a dose.
Yeah, well, talking about that, yeah, it is really strange that the doses were all over the place, where some of those studies were taking 2,000 times more than some of the other studies.
Yeah.
That seems kind of crazy, but it does seem just 400 milligrams of colostrum still has really big benefits, especially when it comes to just your immune system. So personally, what I would do is, well, I honestly can't remember the last time I've been sick. So taking colostrum doesn't really seem to be something on my radar.
Yeah.
But if I was worried about getting sick or something like that, for my parents, what I think they should do is okay, hey, the flu is coming around. It's flu season right now. You really want to protect your immune system. Take colostrum for these few months, and then springtime, summertime, fall, don't worry about it. Just take it for the few months that you know your body's going to be exposed to more viruses, more bacteria, stuff like that. Or if you are like an athlete and you're going to be doing like a triathlon, something along those lines, that's when I would, yeah, definitely. You're going to be swimming in some dirty water. Your immune system's going to be extremely weak because you're exercising like crazy. You're doing some Spartan event where you're going to be running through the mud and stuff like that. That's where I see taking colostrum having like great benefits. But if you're an overall like healthy person and you're not doing anything that's going to make you get super filthy and get exposed to all these like crazy bacteria and stuff like that, probably don't have to worry about it. If you are a little worried about this whole coronavirus, even though we're doing this like a year into the whole coronavirus thing,
yeah,
like, yeah, then it seems like taking colostrum does seem to be like a very safe thing to do, because it doesn't seem like there are any major side effects from any of the trials that we looked at.
Yeah, no, 100%, no major side effects. And we've obviously heard about the side effects from the COVID vaccine, that people are experiencing some bad things. And again, not everybody, but definitely way more side effects than colostrum. And but I think you're right. And I think just honestly, off the top of my head now with you, when you do these ultra marathons, we both know the stress just the training does. Like maybe you, like maybe 1 month out from a race with something with colostrum just to give you your little edge, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that myself. Like, yeah, I probably should, especially with some of the races that I have planned going on this year. I got a 100-miler that I just signed up for in like late June. My immune system's going to be shot. Like, if I'm going to get sick, it's going to be at the end of June.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, leading up to that, it seems like a great idea. And especially, I didn't really know about the whole, like, how good it is for your gut and how much it, like, it helps your intestinal permeability.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like another really great benefit. So, yeah, like, those two things combined seem like it'd be great for me. So I'm definitely going to look into it. It doesn't seem like I need to take a lot. I don't know. I have to kind of like look more into that, because that is a very interesting topic, because it seems like, yeah, 10 grams, 100 grams, 400 milligrams, those are all completely different numbers.
Yeah, crazy. Like, there's no standardization at all. They were, I feel like the researchers like guessing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like minimal effective dose seems to be 400 milligrams, but that study wasn't looking at gut health. So I don't know, maybe you need more for your gut. I don't know. Gonna have to look into this a little bit more.
Yeah, but it is an option out there, and I think we have a podcast on like ways to boost your immune system for COVID. Wait, just honestly, not even for COVID, for everything, you know, you want a strong, nice, healthy immune system. So we have a podcast on that. We talk about like zinc and vitamin C, we talk about all that type of stuff. But I think this definitely could be something to throw into your regimen. Everyone's worried about being sick now, so take it now, load up, and yeah, just so I'm 3-gram servings. Hopefully that's enough for you. If you can afford it, I would do about 10 grams, but that's just me. I would always take more than less. That's just my habit. But but yeah, I think colostrum is cool, man. And I'm going to continue taking it definitely at least probably until summertime, you know, things kind of die down. And yeah, so far so good on my end.
Yeah, so I think that pretty much covers everything. Anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I think that was good. Yeah, that was a podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you learned something. You can find any links and everything on the website. So TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. You can find the podcast there. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. So feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's how new people can come and find us. So that kind of gives us a little boost in the podcast rankings. You can find us most places podcasts are found: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. I hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.